welcome to a brand new season of the Blue Toon Podcast, your weekly unofficial podcast dedicated to all things Peterhead FC. This week, we'll be looking through the summer transfer dealings, look ahead to the opening two competitive matches of the season, and we'll hear from Simon Ferry along with new signings Brett Long and Russell McLean. I'm Colin Byers, and with me once again this season is Martin Smith. Martin, welcome along once again.
Thank you very much.
Good to be back.
Yeah, it's been a while since we sat down to do a recording, so looking forward to it.
How's your summer been? How's your break been?
Yeah, it's been good with the Euros on as well to keep us entertained over the summer. So yeah, it's been good so far.
Okay. The Euros have been, not too bad. Scotland performed as Scotland would, as you'd expect. A lot of hype, but kind of let up the doing.
Yeah, I think more so the Croatia game was a disappointing one. We gave ourselves a really good chance going down to Wembley and getting something from the game, which we needed, and we just fell slightly short against Croatia, who are a very good team, but it's just unfortunate for Scotland that they couldn't get anything from that game to take us through.
And at the time of recording, still the only team to take something from England as well, which is something to be proud of so far.
Yeah, hopefully that'll change.
Aye, hopefully. I've seen somebody saying that we like our football like we like our bacon, kind of Danish.
Kind of. Yeah, that's very good.
Although we have now recorded a normal-ish kind of episode over the summer, we have had our Blue Toon Legends series throughout the summer. We want to take this opportunity again to thank the guys that's been on it, Martin Bavage, Andy Rogers, Graham Sharp, Davey Nichols, and Paul Mathers, all for taking the time out to do it with us. I think we've fair enjoyed it, and I think we kind of learned a few bits and pieces for the guys as well.
Yeah, I think when you started off and you listened to their stories, you knew parts of their career and what happened at Peterhead in their career before it. It was really interesting how much more detail the guys went into. So no, I thoroughly enjoyed listening. It's one of them that you're doing the interview and the recording, but you're actually getting so engrossed in what the guys are saying and, you know, their career before Peterhead and with Peterhead. So yeah, thoroughly enjoyed doing that Legend series.
They're all still available. The second part to Graham Sharp's one will be out on Saturday morning, slightly later than normal, but it'll be out on Saturday. You can still listen to the other four as well. We will put out we'll repost them over the course of the weekend as well, just in case anybody has missed any of them as well. And we'll look again to do them again maybe next season as well, or next summer. Any suggestions that you want, anybody that you think we should be speaking to, let us know. Our DMs are open. You can message us through Facebook as well, because we'd like to get the feedback for you guys and see how well we're doing, first of all, but also any suggestions that you think we should be listening, speaking to. We have got one or two provisionally that we're going to speak to as well, but again, just keep your names coming in. Would be gratefully appreciated. The big story, obviously, over the summer would be that the fans are back. More importantly, fans will be back at Balmoor as well come Saturday's game, which, in all intents and purposes, is a good thing.
Yeah, I'm delighted that fans are back. We were privileged to get there last season. It's just not quite the same without any fans there. I think the only downside would be is the restricted numbers. And I say that in terms of, and I completely understand England and Scotland are different, but I find it hard to understand that. I think at Wembley, as the time of recording, there's going to be, you know, almost capacity crowds there. I think Wimbledon this week, we've announced the tennis outdoor arena, and the seats are, you know, they're packed together and they're allowed full capacity at centre court and court one or whatever it's called. So slightly disappointed that Scotland's not quite at that level yet in terms of allowing fans back in. We've got to start somewhere, and I guess that the number we've got is a step in the right direction.
It is, as you said, a step in the right direction, because obviously we've had none for more than a year and a half. So it is a step in the right direction, and there is word that perhaps by end of August we could be back to our full capacity again. But again, you're sort of scratching your head with Balmoor in particular, a capacity of just over 3,000 average attendance is about 600, 650, you could easily still get most of them in now.
Yeah, I think the fact you've got the seating capacity, you've got the areas behind the goals, around the boards as well. I think, is it 246? Is that the number?
246 is the number, yeah.
The number, I think we really could be getting a lot more. I know the club's hands are tied by the powers that be. And as you said, hopefully come the end of August, we can start seeing the numbers increase through the doors.
Yep, so let's start looking at the transfer dealings then. As it seems to be every year, we kind of have to wait and bide our time as to what's happening. This year was slightly different, I think, in terms of the amount of players that had committed their futures to the club quite early on, which I think is a good thing and is a good sign, and I think we'll touch on a bit more of that later on. But let's look at the guys who have left. I guess it would be a mixed bag in terms of our feelings towards the ones that have left. Some we'd expected, some were disappointed that have left.
Yeah, I think Kyle Bailey was the one that, I know his form in the middle part of the season took a dip, but I felt he really, in his own words, he brought it back himself. He was proud of his performances towards the end of the season. I really felt that if we kept him next season, they would have a really good player, not only right back, but centre back as well. He could play there and just further forward. So I think he was the one that probably took me by surprise more than any of the other guys that have left. You can probably guess the reasons behind every player leaving. But Kyle wanted to move back down south a little bit more. But yeah, disappointing that we've lost the services this season.
Does it surprise you that we'd lost three forwards? I know Ben Armour and Isaac Lane and Stephen Boyd have all left. I'm guessing at least one of those Jim would have liked to have kept. But it's essentially your forward line is all gone.
Yeah, I think Isaac Lane, we can certainly both agree that once he was on his way out to Dumbarton, that was probably the last time we'd see him in a Peterhead shirt. I think Stephen Boyd is a good player. I know that Jim really does like him. Me personally, I felt he was too hot and cold. He'd have a good game and then he'd go three or four without really doing much within the game. So that consistency level's not there. I'd imagine he would have been offered a contract, whether he decided that he didn't want to or whether the club didn't offer him. That's up to them. Ben Armour, I think injuries has probably played a part in Jim's thinking. Can you really have a player on the books that's only going to play maybe half a season and you're really needing him to be on form? I think potentially maybe he started off the season well. I remember we were down at Lincoln's Park and seen a game with Aaron Montrose did really well. We thought this is now going to kick on. Never really happened with the stop-start season the way it was. But disappointed he's left back, and sort of see the reason why Ben and Stephen have decided to move on.
And the final one that's left from last season's squad is Josh Ray. It's one of those where he performed reasonably well. In fact, he did really well up until sort of the last few games of the season. And I think it was inevitable that he was going to be one of those that was going to be moving on.
I think Josh can play in the Championship in Scotland. I think he does have that potential. And he is a good goalkeeper. As you said, the last couple of weeks at the back end of the season, didn't cover himself in the best of glory. But, we've got Lenny Wilson, and also we've got Brett Long is in now as well. Two really good goalkeepers. Well, I think Josh will be a miss around the training. I think, we've still got two really good keepers.
And one thing I'm not going to mention any names, but there are one or two in that list who maybe didn't go about things the correct manner in terms of the way they went about and found new clubs and potentially maybe didn't let their current club, i.e. Peterhead, know what they were doing. I know come January they're free to speak to anybody that they like, but just as a bit of a courtesy to both the club and to Jim, it would be, you'd have thought it was just said, right, this is my plan, this is what we tend to do.
Yeah, I think that we've discovered in the last couple of years, speaking to a lot of current players at that club and players who've played for the past in Peterhead and with Jim, there's a lot of respect that goes both ways between the club, the manager and the players. I think anybody that does things maybe slightly in a different way, I think a poor reflection on them, because You know, Jim's been good with a lot of players. He makes it pretty clear that he won't stand in anyone's way. He'll help you the best he can. We know that personally, the way he's gone about helping us. So yeah, slightly frustrating that certain players move about things in a different light.
So on to the players that have come in. You've mentioned one already, Brent Long. He's arrived. He's obviously going to be the one who's going to challenge Lenny Wilson for the number one jersey. Interesting that they're both the same age, both 24. Lenny obviously would be 25 by the end of this year. Brett's played more games than what Lenny has of 3 years at East Fife. He's got in 77 appearances in those 3 years. So good competition, but it's good young keepers as well.
Yeah, I think we spoke to Lenny back end of the season. You know, he said that if he was going to be staying at Peterhead at that time, it was undecided, that competition was good for him. And I think that Long coming in, as you just said, over 70 appearances for East Fife in the last 3 years, really good goalkeeper. And I think the fact that there's good competition between both of them, it'll be interesting to see who Jim starts with in the first league game of the season, of who he might, you know, give you an indication of who will be his number one.
As you said, it's one of those where they're obviously going to push each other. The whole goalkeepers union will come into fruition again. But it's good to know that it's not an experienced goalkeeper who's just come in just to be, you know, a number two, or it's a 18 or a 19 year old who is just again just coming out to be a number two for Lenny Wilson. This squad as a whole. Is a squad that's built on, right, if you're not going to perform, you know, you're going to be out of the team, there's somebody else that's going to step into your position.
Yeah, you've seen the words away there. I was going to say, the squad that we've now got, I think going back the last couple of years, you'd think if you're taking, look at your bench for players to come on, you'd maybe think that the team would be slightly weakened in certain areas. But I think now you look at the squad on paper and you think there's an argument to say that if any player has maybe two consecutive bad games, they can find themselves on the bench. Somebody taking their place. I think the competition's apparently really strong, really healthy, and I think it's maybe something we've been lacking the last few years.
Hamish Ritchie is obviously another one from last year. Was on loan, but is now signed a 2-year deal, which is interesting. We know all about Hamish. We know how good he is, how good he could be as well. So it was a fantastic piece of business to get him.
Yeah, absolutely. I think we've spoken before about Hamish. Not only is he brilliant on the park, I think off the park as well. He's such a level-headed guy that he doesn't really get complacent. He's a couple of good games. He doesn't think he's, you know, a brilliant player. He's a couple of bad games or, in his eyes, a poorer game. He doesn't get really properly down about it. He's quite a level-headed guy. And as you said, the fact that it's a 2-year contract as well, I think the club realise, you know, they've got a really good player on their hands there.
Where do you see his best position be? Is it the number 10 role? Is it wide in either wings? Is it centre midfield?
Personally, I think it could be the number 10. I think looking at the squad now we've got as well, I think with Stephen Boyd leaving, I think it does leave that, you know, potential for a number 10. I think Hamish can do that job really well. We've seen it a couple of games last season. His link-up play was really good. And I think even if he wished to come slightly deeper for the number 10 role and pick up the ball and drive forward, he's got that dribbling ability as well. So personally, for me, I think number 10, not sure if you'd agree with that, whether you prefer him the wings, but for me, it's the number 10.
To be honest with you, as long as he's playing, I think he's one of those guys that you just no matter fit the other 10 are, you've got to get him in your team, make sure that if he's fit, he's ready to go. He's one of the ones. And if you give him a free roll, I think that was kind of I can't remember which game it was towards the tail end of last season, but he was literally just everywhere on the park, and the opposition just couldn't handle him because they didn't know who should be marking him.
Yeah, do you think that maybe gives Jim a strange choice in terms of allowing a player to have a free role? Again, normally you've got your system, but do you allow a player as good as Hamish to have almost that decision on his own to make that, or he can decide to have like a free role, play on the wing, play the number 10?
I think if you've got players like Simon Ferry or Scott Brown or even Andy McCarthy, who are disciplined enough in midfield to recognise, right, if he's going to go there, right, I'm going to make sure that gap is covered and filled in. Even if you've got, you know, we've seen with Naya Payne, or even Darren Kesson as well. You know, these guys can recognise that if he's going to be the one that's going to go free and go roaming, right, we need to make sure that we're filling the gaps. And I think if you've got that drilled into the squad, that if you're going to let Hamish Ritchie have that free role, they will drill it in and Jim will make sure that the gaps are all plugged. And if the gaps aren't plugged, he'll make sure that they'll know. So I think it's maybe a slightly change in the philosophy as well. And again, we're going to maybe touch on that later on as well. But I think there's a slightly difference in the style of play that's coming through for Jim as well in the last year.
Yeah, I certainly think we've got a lot of the squad's certainly the average age is turning younger. I think we mentioned that towards the back end of the season. It's a hungrier squad as well. And I think there's, I would say there was in the past, but I think some clubs you maybe sign a player and think, oh, they're quite happy to pick up a paycheck for the last year or a year of a contract at a club. But I don't think we've got that up your head. I don't think Jim would allow it. And I certainly think the players that is coming through the door now, the oldest one that we have signed, 24, Hamish Ritchie, I think that shows you that the philosophy is like the change in a younger style.
And another one of those younger ones that again maybe has a bit more experience, I guess, is the cornerstone of the squad is Russell McLean, who has rejoined after being away for a couple of seasons, joined from Montrose. I think this is a big coup. This is a big signing, considering the clubs that were looking at him and trying to bring him in. And as we'll hear from him later on as well, he turned down a full-time club as well. So it's a massive deal, and I think it's a huge, huge signing for us.
I think it goes back to what I said a few minutes ago. I think it's that, you know, respect that players have got for Jim and Peterhead as a club. I think that sort of weighs heavy with some players, and they know what they're going to get coming back to college. You said he's been offered a full-time position elsewhere. He's decided to come back to Peterhead. He knows what the club's about. You know, he believes in what Jim's doing at Peterhead. And as you said, it's a massive coup, and I am confident he'll be a really good but also important signing for us.
11 goals last season for Montrose in 25 games, which is pretty decent. What I would say is his goals did sort of come in stages, but he'd score in two or three games in a row, then go quiet, and then score again in two or three again. So he just needs to make sure that, I mean, he's still relatively young. He's still only 24 himself. He's one of those guys who seems to be on the go for a while, but he'll learn and he'll develop and hopefully start turning that kind of 11 goals in 25 into maybe 15 in 25, and that way that will only benefit the team.
I think what I'm also looking forward to with Russell is it just his goals, but I think last year we didn't really hear that target man. They saying we're going to go back to front pretty quick, but I think it did show towards the tail end of games last season. You're trying to get something to the game. We didn't have a player that you could, you know, ping a ball to him and try and hold it. I think having that as well with the likes of Hamish Ritchie and Darren Kess and guys buzzing about off him, I think that'll help as well. The link up play with Hamish and Russell McLean, hopefully that partnership can form really well. I think Nate just sees goals, but I think he's a general nuisance. I always think when we played Montrose, he was on the side, he was just a nuisance to play against. Thankfully, he's now in the other team, he can be a nuisance for others.
And his goals, it's saying he's a target man, but if you look at some of his goals as well, he can play with the ball at his feet. If you remember the goals against Peterhead at Montrose, maybe when he scored two, one of those was a fairly good tidy finish from inside the box. Now, if he can do that regularly for us, we should have no problems whatsoever.
I think last season part of our problem was we created chances, but we just didn't put the ball in the back of the net. You know, whether that be just unfortunate in certain games, yeah, you'll take that, but I think you make your own luck. I think now, as you said, we've got a guy that's tall, he'll annoy defences, but he's quick with the ball at his feet. And, you know, if he can stick a few goals in, then we'll be delighted.
And finally, the Dundee three, shall we call them, Lyle Cameron, Josh Mulligan, and Danny Strachan have all returned on loan from Dundee. Good that we've got the three of them back again. Particularly pleased that Danny Strachan's been allowed to come back on loan as well. Short spell last season, obviously after the restart, But at 18, he looks a prospect, and if he can get 30-35 games under his belt this season, that can only benefit him and obviously benefit Peterhead, but benefit Dundee in the long run.
I think we've seen the potential that he's got the last couple of games of the season. When he's up last time, you know, I think there is certainly a player there. He had to wait two or three games before he'd got on when he did sign last time. But you know, when he did get in, he didn't go back at the team. A really good player. Me personally, that three, I'm really excited that Lyle Carnlin's back. Was really disappointed that unfortunately we couldn't get him back when the restart happened in March. I think he's a terrific player, and I think the fact that we're going to have him and Hamish Ritchie in the same team, really excited to see the players link up with that.
And Josh Mulligan, obviously, we had him last season. He played 10 minutes against Dundee United. His injury was worse than what was expected, so unfortunate for him, but we're pleased we're getting back, because there's a lot of talk about how good Josh potentially can be, so I'm looking forward to seeing him play. He can play both midfield and defence as well, which I think, given the amount of defenders that we've got, or the lack of defenders that we've got, can only be a good thing.
Versatility. We've spoken about this before, but there is a lot of players now that can play two or three different positions, which is brilliant. And as you said, there is a lack of depth in the defence at the moment. I'm sure that'll change come the end of the transfer window. But yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if Josh Mulligan's playing a few games at the heart of the defence.
And if we can get the Lyle Carnlin that we got at the first half of last season, that's going to cause Jim no amount of problems, because could you imagine him and Hamish Ritchie in that midfield? That's going to cause so many problems for the opposition players.
Yeah, I mean, already I'm thinking if you've got Hamish Ritchie on one side, Lyle Carnlin, you've got Naya Payne, who I thought was really good back in the season as well, as a nuisance with defensive with his pace. You've got Russell McLean there as well. Yeah, that four, and obviously you've got the experience of Scott Brown, Simon Ferry in midfield. Yeah, I think a lot of outside fans, a lot of clubs might underestimate this season. I'm maybe speaking too soon. I think you look on paper, I think every bookie that you're trying to get a market for, they've got Peterhead, you know, favourites to get relegated, or one of the favourites. I generally think that we can sort of survive comfortably this season. I think we've seen it last season, sort of scrape. But then when you look at the table at the end of the season, it looked like we were pretty confident and comfortable. And this year, I'm certainly looking upward rather than down. A lot of good teams in division, but I also rate the work that Jim's done so far as well.
And it's pleasing as well that he's kept a vast majority of last season squad as well, other than the ones we've already mentioned, and obviously the ones that's returned back to their parent clubs after their loan spell. But that's a good sign that that these guys are committed, and not just for one season, but it seems to be that they're committed for a second season, and some of them guys, as we mentioned, are signing 2-year deals as well.
Yeah, you rightly touched on it earlier on the programme that a lot of these guys signed pretty quick after being offered a deal. You know, they were quite within their right to say, no, I want to wait a couple of weeks, see what else is out there. They've been pretty quick. I know a lot of players go back to gym, you know, almost within a couple of days, saying that they were ready to commit. And I think that's a big thing as well. The players want to stay. They like the work that Jim and Davey Knight's doing. You've got Simon on the team as well. And yeah, I really am positive for the season ahead.
I think they recognise the plan or where Jim wants to take the club, and I think with him being there for so long, it gives the players that kind of almost that kind of cushion or safety net, that they know that he's going to be there for the entirety of that season, or maybe even the seasons to come.
Yeah, I think the a lot of the lower league clubs that, you know, maybe a turnover of a manager pretty quick in certain clubs if they're struggling. I think, or I'd like to think, that players recognise that they come to Peterhead, even if there is a bit of a struggle, that the board will back Jim. We've seen it, they'll support him. And the players can feel comfortable enough coming up and, you know, playing their football and almost relax into that role of, you know, we've got the support of the gaffer and the board. They're going to go out and play their football, and hopefully, you know, they loosen the shackles a little bit and, you know, come out with positive football.
Right, so let's hear from a couple of the new boys then. Let's first of all hear from Brett Long.
Okay, Brett, welcome to Peterhead. How does it feel?
Thanks. Yeah, good. Good to get started. We've been in for a couple of weeks now, and it's good to get hit the ground running, and obviously the boys have been great with me, the staff have been great with him. I knew a few boys just before I started, so that's obviously easier when you know a few of them. But yeah, everything's been great, and just looking forward to the games coming then.
Was it good to get it sorted out so early?
Yeah, it was good. Obviously, I spoke to the gaffer, Jim McInally, and Jim Butters quite a bit through the summer, back and forth on that. So, yeah, obviously, I was keen and they were keen. Once it was done, we were both happy.
What was it about Peterhead that made you want to sign?
I think they're a good club, obviously. They're a well-established club and they're well-run. The gaffer's been there a while. They look after the boys well. It seems like a really good club. Every time we played against them, we go up there. The fans in that are good as well, which is puts the opposition off. So, yeah, there's a few factors which made me go to Peterhead rather than a few other teams that I've had offers from.
You were at East Fife for about 3 years, so was it a difficult decision to leave there?
Yeah, obviously, I love my time at East Fife. The fans were great with me and the club were great with me, but I think it was just time for a new change, and Peterhead looked good. Obviously, I had a few other offers and that, but I wanted to go to Peterhead.
When you say you've played against this a few times, what kind of things stood out for you that made you make that decision?
Well, I like the way they play football. They try and play the right way. They pass it the right way rather than old school route one sort of lumping it, as most people would say. I like the way they play, and that was a big factor in me coming.
And have you settled in with the squad? Have they made you feel welcome?
Yeah, everyone's been great with me, all the boys and the staff and that has been really good. Obviously, we travel up together on the minibus, which is great. So you get to see the bond with the boys as well on the way to training. So everything's been good and everyone's looking forward to the games now.
Has the manager given you any indication of how he sees the season going with yourself and Lenny, because obviously Lenny more or less kind of established himself as a number one towards the end of the last season. You're both relatively young in terms of goalkeeper, so is it just a case of who plays well and they get the number one jersey?
Well, I think it's sort of both push each other. Obviously me and Lenny only knew each other a couple of weeks, but we've got a good relationship already, and working with Jim Butt as a goalie coach, so it's a great group we've got, the three of us. So we're pushing each other every time in training and that, and obviously I'm sure Lenny will want to be playing and I definitely want to be playing, so whoever I get in the order, I'm sure they'll be happy, but I'm sure the other one will back the one who's playing and keep pushing.
And of course, because you've played up at Balmore before, you'll be used to the wind.
It's quite windy up there. At Fife it was quite windy as well, so I'm quite used to that. But yeah, Balmoor was very windy now and again, especially the time we played them last year. It was blowing a gale and it was a rubbish day. So I'm just looking forward to getting started and getting into the games.
The squad itself is quite a young squad. It's an exciting young squad. How well do you think we're going to do this season?
I think we've got a great squad, to be honest. It's young, but very talented players. We've got some experience in there as well, like some likes of Simon Ferry, Scott Brown, Derek Lyon, Conroy as well. Experienced boys in there that will help some of the younger ones. But we've got a wee bit of a mix, obviously the few older ones, but young and energetic, and I'm sure we'll get about teams and we'll do very well.
The season's just around the corner, so what's your kind of expectations?
Obviously we want to finish as high up the table as possible. This league's obviously getting stronger and stronger every year. You see more full-time teams coming into it. You've got the likes of Cove and Airdrie that are pushing quite Conway, signing the likes of Byers and Draper from Ross County. So it'll be a very tough week for sure, but I think that we can match anyone on our day, to be honest, and we just want to be make sure we're up there challenging.
Okay, we'll now hear from Russell McLean.
Welcome back to Peterhead. How's it feel?
Yeah, it's good to be back. To talk about being back, when I left, I probably didn't believe you back. I'm delighted to be back.
The interest from Peterhead, when did that kind of start to come about?
Yeah, the guys are from the March, April time, I think. And at that time, I just kind of told them, you know, I wanted to focus on, my season had been frozen. I wasn't going to sign it or make any decisions until the season was over. Just from a personal point of view, I was solely focused on what I was doing at Montrose, because at the time we were in a good position, and it did end up the way that we ended up in the playoffs. So I wouldn't have wanted to jeopardise my chances of playing in those sort of games if I'd have made any decision in the early doors.
Is that a sign, as a person, that he's, even though you've left, he's still interested in bringing you back to the club?
Yeah, well, when I did leave, it was solely my decision, and Jim had told me when I'd phoned him and asked to leave due to circumstances, Jim had said, "I don't want you to leave. I don't want you to leave. You won't be leaving for free." I was in the mind that I was leaving, and then got the chairman to phone me and tell me they didn't want me to leave. So I knew they wanted me up your head, but I didn't ever think that they would have came back after I left. But they did.
Was there interest from elsewhere, and what was the sort of significant thing that made you come back to Peterhead?
Yeah, I had another 3 or 4 offers, one of which was to go full time. But just having been at Peterhead and know everyone in the club and know everybody's seen in the club, if I was leaving Montrose, I wasn't going anywhere else, because, like I say, I know everybody in the club, I know how well they treat, and the year and a half that I was in Peterhead, I loved it, and I didn't want to leave at the time, but unfortunately, professional football circumstances meant that for me, I had to leave. So the decision came based on that, and having a chat with Simon, who I think knew in the supporters and those heavily involved in the coaching them. They spoke to him, met him for a chat, which was meant to be about an hour, I think it lasted for about 3, about what the plans were for the club and the way they wanted to play and how it's changed since I left 2.5 years ago, and it all sounded better than what it was before, and it wasn't as if it was bad before, so the decision was quite easy after I spoke to Simon.
The score that he's built this summer and off the back of last season as well, it's a good, young, exciting squad. So to be part of that, I guess, would have been a no-brainer.
And Dave and Simon have said to me, you know, despite the fact you're 23, I'll be coming in this squad as one of the more experienced ones, which just shows how young and perhaps inexperienced some of the players are that we've got. But I haven't been in training for the last couple of weeks. Having no experience doesn't really make much difference to these boys, because some of them are very good. It's a squad that I'm looking forward to being part of. Certainly, obviously, as I say, there's a lot of young boys, so there's a lot of probably unknown for each other and for the supporters, but I look forward to it.
Are you coming back a better player?
I'd say so, yeah. I'd say I'm coming back a better all-round player. I don't think my goal scoring could ever have been questioned. I know some people probably would have questioned it, but just because Rory, if you're going to be Peterhead, you're always going to be compared to Rory, but I think my time at Peterhead and the time that I had been playing when I was away, I had haven't scored goals, and I do score goals, but I've brought more in my game than I believe. So yeah, I would say I'm a better player, I'm more mature player as well. So hopefully I can prove that. I'm not just saying that, hopefully I can prove it.
Off the back of your season for Montrose last year, do you think there's going to be a pressure for you to sort of hit the ground running, get the goals straight away?
Pressure because I've been a striker since I was young, so I always expected to score goals. But Simon, the gaffer, David, the chairman, everybody said you're going to be the main focal point of the team. So that pressure's going to be there, but certainly won't be something that I'm not used to. That pressure's beyond me, but it's not something that's going to phase me.
Okay, that was Brett Long and Russell McLean. They're both talking up the fact that they're coming to Peterhead because of the squad that Jim's built in terms of its youth and how exciting the squad looks as well. So that, in a sense, for long term, can only be a good thing for bringing in more of that kind of type of players.
Yeah, I think, as we mentioned earlier on, there's some guys also in two-year contracts. I think that Jim's starting now to see a route he's wanting to go down. I think he's wanted to go down this route for a while, but, you know, other things have dictated how transfers and that will pan out. As you pointed out, Brett and Russell mentioned there about the young squad. They're also excited, players coming in. We're certainly excited by the squad that Jim's amassed so far. I think everybody's in the same boat, that they're all positive for the new season ahead.
And it'd be interesting to see how Russell gets on, being as he said there in his audio, he'll be the focal point, he'll be the sort of point of the squad where we expect to play and expect to get the goals. As he said, his record itself, it shouldn't be into question, but obviously the last time he was here, much of his 75 appearances were coming off the bench because, Rory McAllister was ahead of him and Shane Sutherland was ahead of him. So it'll be interesting to see what happens with him when he gets a good run in the side and he gets 90 minutes as opposed to what he was doing previously.
I generally think Russell thrive, and I think the fact, as you mentioned, a lot of his appearances before came off the bench. I think it's difficult for players, especially strikers, unless you're giving them chances to try and work yourself into a game late on, I think can be difficult for the guys. But the fact, as you said, he'll be the focal point of the squad. They'll be relying on him getting goals with other guys chipping in as well. But I think, you know, I think he's the sort of guy, if he gets off to a good start, he'll have a really good season. You'd maybe be concerned if you've started going 4, 5, 6 games without a goal. But even then, I think he believes in himself. He's mentioned in your audio there that he's coming back a better player. And overall, I think he'll thrive in it.
Yep, so final piece of audio we're going to hear now from Simon Ferry. And when I spoke to him, I first of all asked him how the squad was preparing and how the boys were looking.
The boys have been looking good. I think played a game last Saturday, I mean, the mate is at my work, but we played a bounce game amongst ourselves just Saturday there. And I actually thought the standards were quite decent, to be honest. I think we've made some great signings, very happy with who we've got in terms of Big Russell. I think we really lacked a focal point last year. A guy I know wants to score goals, he's desperate to score goals, and if he doesn't get the service in there, then he'll get up to go back, which the other things that we kind of want to put the place off for me. Massive thing to get Russell on board and on the few teams that were after him as well, speaking of the summer. And then guys like Lyle, who for me was excellent when he came for Dundee, again, to Jason Fett and other teams are after him, but he enjoyed it. Us wanting to come back to get someone's situation with Danny Stack, and also to get the boy Josh Mulligan, who looks, I don't want to hype him up too much, but what I've seen him so far in pre-season, he looks like he's going to be a very good one. So getting the higher back as well was a big one for us. But again, I think that speaks volumes for the club, and you know, the guys obviously enjoyed it and wanted to come back. So a bit worried at start, to be honest, in terms of numbers, but it's not just numbers that we've got on, it's real quality, so really happy with how things have went.
Was the key getting the majority of the squad for last season are tied up as well?
Yeah, I think so. I think, you know, there's a real spell at the end of the season where we're looking really good. There are similar types, you know, all young, ambitious guys. think a lot of them play higher, and I believe we can play higher. So I think if you can get that stability at a club where you've got a good squad and you keep them together for two or three seasons, you're going to achieve something. You know, I always think when there's six or seven leaving each year and six or seven new ones coming in, it's hard to kind of get a better, to get success with any real continuity. So the fact that we've got the majority of squads here last year is great for me. You know, a good mix of experience and using the team there.
And you were one of the first teams to sign up again for the new season. Was it a no-brainer again for you?
Yeah, it was. Obviously, Jim came into the coaching job as well, which I really enjoyed him. So that's obviously a massive factor in being here as well. Obviously, it was interesting to all for me to go to Kelly, but the fact that I knew we were getting these sort of players in, and I liked where I can see the squad going, and again, as I see the types that we're getting in,
League One is going to be tough as it was last year. So, how realistic is it to focus on pushing for a playoff place?
Yeah, I think League One's a really tough play. I think it has been since I've been at Peterhead. You know, you think of some of the teams that have played in League One since I've been here. You're right, you're Walkers, you're Parnick Thistle. So, again, I'll be the exact same. You know, there's a lot of good players in this league now. Most of the league is guys that have played the SPL. Some coaches that have coached there, and Paul Sheehan has been over at Falkirk now, who's Aberdeen assistant manager. So we know it's going to be a tough season as it always is, but as I say, I don't know how other squads are looking at how they are, but I can only go on what I've seen and do what I've seen towards the end of last year and adding into what we've got. You know, for me, it was one of the best, I think it was the best squad I was involved in last year, and I think the addition that we've made, we can go on and have a and it should be your aim if you go and get the players this year, so that's what we'll be looking at there.
And some of the players are actually signing up for 2 years as well, which for us as fans is a good thing.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, when you get guys that chance to get signed, guys like Amos, you know, a 24-year-old, and for me it's a no-brainer to go and give these guys 2 year contracts, Jason, because I think we need to start thinking about, you know, it's amazing what the gaffer does in terms of letting guys go to teams and opportunities come along, but there also needs to be a side where we look after the club as well, because the club are great for these guys. You know, the way I've always spoken about how they're looked after, and I think that's big for me, guys want to come back, so it's good to the players as well. You know, they know they've got a 2 year, but it's somewhere that they enjoy, but also for us as well is that if a team wants to come in and take these guys in, you know, I don't see why we shouldn't be making money off guys. If we are making them better, and developing them, then we should be rewarded for that. So I think for both sides, it works really well.
Finally, then, how much are you looking forward to getting the fans back into the ground, even though it's maybe just small numbers at the minute, but it's a step in the right direction?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, that's what football is about. That's what you play at Saturday. So, you know, I always think that players are professional players because they can handle playing in front of a crowd. I think that's where you see the real difference between good players and average players. So, and if you've got guys that have done really well last year, guys that are looking to have a big season, then you just hope that they can do it in front of a crowd, because that's what football's all about. And I know playing opposition players that they don't enjoy coming up to Balmoor when the crowds are there and the team are on form. So I think if we could get your side right in terms of playing the way we played last year, but we get a few better wins on the board and then the fans being there, then hopefully it can make for a really good season for everyone.
That was Simon Ferry there, and it seems to be that Simon himself is growing in a bigger role within the club. It's not just a case of he's a player, he's a coach, but in terms of what it sounds like, he's quite heavily involved with the recruitment side of things as well.
Yeah, and I think I noticed it more towards the second part of the season. You noticed that David Nix was taking more of a backseat with the warm-ups. I know it sounds pretty trivial, but you think if he's doing the warm-ups on the match days, he's doing a lot more at training. And I think, you know, things with Simon's contacts as well within the game, as well as Jim and Dave's and the board, a lot of contacts, and I think being able to tap into an insight of a player as well, I certainly think that Jim's using the experience that Simon's got on and off the park to the best of their ability.
There's a few sort of standout statements that he made in that audio. One was he talked about the opportunities that might present themselves at Peterhead rather than at potentially another club. So again, it just gives you an idea that maybe there's a long-term plan as to maybe previously what it was maybe just season to season, whereas now there seems to be a change in the club's philosophy and where they want to be.
Is that for Simon or for all players?
Simon in particular, but you know, for the club as a whole, they seem to be changing their philosophy and where they want to go.
Yeah, I think Jim spoke about it before. He'd always say we never stand in a player's way. We've seen it with Kraken recently as well. He was at a club and got headhunted by Falkirk. We've got that example now with Simon. I think he was linked with a club or the summer. I've forgotten who the club was now, but sure, he was linked to go to another club. But again, he's decided Peterhead's the place for him to be. He realises what Jim and David Nix is doing with him. And that, you know, that progression can only be a good thing if you can get coaches developed within. I think with Derek Weil as well. We've spoken about him before on the coaching team as well. So there's certainly progression for these guys. If they're willing to stick around, then Jim will help them along.
And you talked about as well that it's about quality, not just the numbers. The squads are at the moment at the same kind of number. I think it's about 18, 19 at the moment. But he's talking about quality rather than the quantity. And again, as you said earlier on, when you're looking at a game, maybe you look to our bench to maybe turn the game in your favour. It seems to be this season, and like the tail end of last season, we've got that again.
Yeah, I agree with Simon. We've got the quality's got to be there. You could have a squad of 30, but if you know these guys aren't holding respect to the best of that we can get, then you're going to struggle. You'd rather have a smaller squad. You would like to think that there's maybe potential for one or two still to come in. I think we are light in some areas, as we touched on. But the quality's got to be there, and I think the fact that we've got quality in the squad now, we've mentioned before, these are young guys as well. They're hungry to do well and succeed. And as we've also mentioned, Jim will last stop in these guys' pass. If, you know, players come in, do well. Hamish Ritchie, for example, he's on a 2-year contract. He's a really good season, and a club, Championship, Premiership, want to come in and pay money for him. Then I'm sure Hamish and, you know, Jim won't stand in Hamish's way or develop it.
But the difference this time being is that the club will be sort of compensated for his development, whereas before, as Simon was saying, it was a case of, oh well, you just shake hands with him and off you go kind of thing. They're now looking at the case of, well, the club's been good to you or been good to us. It's about time that we started repaying that.
Yeah, and I think where the previous couple of years, there's an argument to say you could have got some sort of transfer fee for most of the players that had moved on from us, with the exception maybe a couple. Unfortunately, that's the nature of the lower league. It's 1-year deal. So the fact that we're now dishing out 2-year deals as well, and I think that's testament to how the club's been run through the pandemic. You know, it'd be interesting to see how many other clubs out with the ones who have got the bigger budgets, who are offering 2-year contracts to players who, with all due respect, were playing in the Highland League. You know, it'd be interesting to see. But yeah, the club are backing the players, and it's only right that the players get that chance to develop with the club, and if they do move on, that the club are being compensated for it.
Right, so let's move on to matters on the pitch then. First up is the newly renamed Premier Sports Cup, Betfred, if you like, the League Cup for our more sort of older listeners, that's what it's called. We have been drawn in a group with Hearts, Inverness Cove and Stirling Albion. We do have Hearts first up and then Inverness on the Tuesday. It's possibly one of the tougher groups that we could have been handed.
Yeah, I don't think there's any group as tough as what we've got. Putting a positive spin on it, I think it's perfect preparation going into what will be a difficult League One campaign. You're just almost starting that a month earlier, or shy of that a month earlier. So good preparation against teams that you'd expect to do well in their representative leagues. So yeah, I'm looking forward to it, although it'll be a tough competition.
We'll touch on more of the Hearts and Inverness game shortly. But we've also been, just before we came on to record, there's the SPFL Trust Trophy, or as you, if you like to call it, the Challenge Cup. It's been drawn as well, and round one and round two has also been drawn. But in round one, we're away to Dundee B. And then if we get through that, it'll either be East Fife or St Johnstone B. So again, it's probably... on paper, not the easiest of draws, but you just never know about these sort of B teams or occult teams, how they're gonna turn up and who's actually gonna be playing within those squads.
Controversial throwing the word cult into a recording. they're difficult games. Like I said, I don't think any club's gonna be putting their hopes on much of the cup competitions, but I do think they're really good exercises in terms of player development. You can sort of see where you're at as a player. You know, it's okay playing against teams in League One week in, week out, but you know, if you've got a chance to play against, okay, it's a B side with Dundee or St Johnstone, you're gonna be playing Hearts and Inverness. It's a good test for you as a player to see how you're shaping up.
So let's talk about the Hearts game then. That's the first game coming up this season, first one. For fans, and as I said, over a year, the unfortunate thing from us is that Scott Brown, the captain, and Jason Brown are both suspended, which is hugely disappointing, and will be a massive loss to the team.
Yeah, absolutely. I think obviously it will be a tough game regardless, but you know, the fact that you've lost two of your key men and the heart of the team as well is frustrating. But again, as we've just said before, it allows players who maybe didn't think they would get a game to come in and stake a claim. You know, if they had a really good game, keep their position in the team to play Inverness, you know, maybe gives them a headache going into the first game of the season. But, you know, they've lost two players for suspension, but these guys have come in and done well.
It's difficult to kind of judge how these games are going to go because it is the first game of the season. You know, there's no form coming into it, but... Hearts will be wary of the last time that they came up here and lost. I know it's 4 years since that happened. Obviously, a lot's changed since then, but they will know that it's going to be a tough one, and certainly they don't want to get off to a bad start. You know, for the first game of the season, particularly as they're back into the Premier League again.
Yeah, I think we've seen last season when St Johnstone came up, they played a really strong team. We lost the game, there was a 10-minute period in that second half that they showed their quality. But, you know, they didn't take the game lightly. I'm sure Hearts will be thinking that there would have been better teams to play against on the day, you know, becoming the Ballymoards. You know, it's struggled a lot of things, but still, you know, it's the best part of a six-hour round trip for these guys. They won't fancy it, you know, depending on the weather as well. So there's things that could go in our favour. Sure. As I said, Hearts are looking for that a bit, but we'll be hoping for that in 3 points.
Realistically, out of those two games, the Hearts game and then the trip up to Inverness on the Tuesday, realistically, what do you expect to get?
6 points.
Realistically, I didn't specify realistically.
I think we're under no illusions that they're tough games. But I certainly think we can get something. 2 points, a draw in both games. Maybe sounds ambitious, but you know, as I said, Hearts' first game, okay, I know it's ours as well, but they were a fancy coming up here. You just think on their day, Inverness, they were a team last season that did blow hot and cold. I know now they've got Billy Dodds in charge, they had a good end to the season last year, but you know, they had gone up in a tough championship campaign. So, yeah, I'd like to think if we could maybe get a draw in both games, it might not be enough to get us through the group stages, but it would certainly be a good preparation going into the League Cup.
And again, having Inverness up here in the League Cup in the same stage, I think 2 years ago, and we've got a 0-0 and then one on penalties. So, I mean, realistically, as we said, I mean, if you can get a draw in the 90 minutes, then you've got the lottery or the penalty shootout straight after. So you could actually end up coming away with 4 points, which wouldn't be a bad way to start the campaign.
No, it'd be brilliant. Like I said, both games will be tough in different ways. Whether Jim might use it as an experiment, you know, looking at the group, it's one of them you'd think that, you know, Inverness and Hearts would be the teams who go through Cove challenging in there. he might use it as an experiment for trying out different formations or different, you know, strength of squad. Given the fact that obviously two guys are out for Saturday's game. But yeah, I think personally, if we got 2 points, you'd probably be happy with that.
I think it helps as well, though, that it's Saturday, Tuesday, Saturday, and then it's this following Saturday again for the away trip to Stirling Albion. And I think that might just make things a little bit easier. It just kind of eases us into that kind of Saturday midweek routine that we're going to have at the beginning of the season with the Challenge Cup as well. So, and I think as well, if you're going to try and get points, I think is the Cove game and the Stirling Albion game will be the ones that you'll be looking to get the 3 points from.
Yeah, I'd agree. I don't think we're going to get 3 points against Hearts, but it'd be a bonus if we did. But even going into the Cove game, if we have lost both games, I don't think it would be the worst case scenario in terms of it. I personally don't think the club's banking on much from the cup campaigns. I think it is just really good, tough preparation going into the league campaign with a friendly cancelled at the weekend. I know we managed to get a game against Forsberg thrown as well. But you know, they're good exercises for the guys. And as I said earlier on, these players want to test themselves. They're young lads at a higher level. Playing against Hearts, and I think Inverness are a Premiership club. I certainly think if you made it a 16 in the Premiership, they would be one of the clubs that would be in. So yeah, they're tough games, but I'm sure it's one that Jim and the players are looking forward to with spectators, I think is the main thing as well.
Yeah, so but overall, I think it's all positive. We're actually looking forward to getting the season started and looking forward to how this the squad is going to develop and mature over the course of the next season. I'm really looking forward to it. I'm quite optimistic for the season ahead as well.
Yeah, I really am. I think the fact that we've got fans back as well, I think a lot of players will thrive off that. Some of the games that we've seen and have been the best of quality, but I think if we get fans in, you're going to see them thriving, better performances. The team that we've got, I know football's not played a paper, but we've got a really good squad, young squad. You've got the experience thrown in as well. I like the blend. I think they're good guys. As we sit here and record, I'm optimistic. We'll see how we've done come Christmas time where we're sat at the league, but a lot more optimistic this year that we'll be farther away from the bottom than we were last year. I think last year you always had that one eye over your shoulder and we managed to pick out a result. This year I'm thinking, well, if we can get that one result, it might just take us up the way.
I believe the phrase would be, we're buzzing.
I think that's what the
young people say. We're buzzing. We can't wait.
If you're happy enough with that term, I'm glad that could be the title of the episode, is it? Buzzing.
All right, then. On that note, then, that's it for this week. My thanks to Martin for joining me. We'll be back again next week. So until then, on behalf of Martin and myself, thanks for listening. Stay safe, and we'll see you all very soon.